friends and fellow adventurers. Welcome to the Mithril Dragon Wagon. Last episode, we got a plethora of information. Here's some of what I know. First, after appearing in the wagon, you attract creatures known as Hounds of Tyndalos. These creatures exist in many realms of fantasy. However, in Galarian, they are drawn to anomalies in time. I'd say that tracks. Then, you somehow transported yourself to Solara's sanctum, in her past. This wasn't canon for us until last week. How did she get there? I'm not entirely certain. However, Solara is a very powerful wizard, not to mention, she had a very powerful artifact with her. The elongated glass tube that contains the pale blue mist. From what we know, she was using it to peer into the future. It must have some sort of connection or influence over time-space. Anyway, after you empathetically communicate danger in the wagon to Solara, she whisks you back to the wagon where she, Wyeth, and the Traveler finish off the invading Hounds of Tyndalos. We also find out the Traveler's name. It's Iain. Iain was one of David's characters. Iain was part of our playthrough of the Shattered Star adventure path, the second installment of this trilogy. At this point, though, Solara drops a bomb on us. Your end destination is to confront the Rune Lord of Wrath, Alasnest. To aid in the effort, the Mithril Dragons have the Sihedron, a powerful artifact reformed from the Seven Shards of Sin, now representing the seven virtues of rule, as laid out by Emperor Jin from ancient Thessalonian times. Now, I think this Sihedron is important here. Last week's poll simply stated, the Sihedron hums with power, and then each choice in the poll was one of each of those seven virtues of rule. Humility and zeal ended that poll with a tie. So I went into our Discord and posted a tiebreaker vote. It also ended in a tie. What lies in store for you because of that choice? I don't know. We'll find out. For now, it seems, the wagon is headed for Rosehold to meet up with the final members of the Mithril Dragons, Kynar and Valar Zarn. Dragon Roost, the stone keep at the heart of Rosehold, is known by another name at most tables. You may know it as Fort Rannoch. Rosehold's protection extends south to Turtleback Ferry and all the way north past the Storval Stairs to the Thoracic Library at Jorgenfist. You are someplace else. It doesn't take long to determine that it is not the Mithril Dragon Wagon. The sounds of wind through the planks are missing. Iain is not here to greet you either. No, your feet are firmly planted on a polished floor with a beautiful rainbow of colors etched into the rock. Surveying the room to determine where you've ended up this time, it looks to be an art studio. All along the circular room are works of art, all in various degrees of completion. Sketches on canvas of landscapes, a few layers of watercolors filling in half of the painting, a rough silhouette of three huddled goblins chiseled from stone, along with numerous dioramas, abstract paintings, woven rugs, embroidery, all unfinished. In the middle of the room, facing away from you, are a human man and two goblins. The man and one of the goblins are shirtless, with simple, loose-fitting pants cuffed tight at the ankle. The other goblin looks like they're wearing purple yoga pants and a tight-fitting tank top. They stand in a line, feet shoulder-width apart, doing stretching exercises. In unison, they go through their routine in silence. Once finished, the man goes down to one knee and puts an arm around the shoulder of one, while the other goblin begins lightly jogging in place.
All right, Libby. Feeling more relaxed?
Yes, Father. That helped calm my nerves.
Good. Remember, beauty comes from within.
He pats her shoulder and gestures to the art all around the room.
And where does your spark take you today, Libby? With what will you express yourself?
Libby looks slowly around the room. The other goblin, still jogging in place, begins to slowly turn your direction. When his eyes meet yours, he stops, surprise painted plainly on his face. This is easily the most clean-cut goblin you have ever seen. Clean-shaven head and face. You see his teeth behind what has turned into a quizzical look, and they are remarkably clean and white. He is toned and lean and very light on his feet. He cautiously stalks toward you, obviously wary.
Your work yesterday on the sculpture was inspired. How about that?
No, not today. The sculpture represents the dark times before you and Uncle Valor saved us. Today I feel kindness. It's a strong feeling.
Father, who is this? I thought it was Aunt Solara at first, but she never sits still this long without a tome or scroll of some kind.
The whole room has your attention now. The young woman brings her hands to her lips and gasps. The man calmly turns to you. Broad shoulders, about 6 feet tall, with short cropped hair and beard. It's impossible to ignore the jagged, wrist-thick scar that spans from his right hip to his left armpit. Without a doubt, that was a mortal wound at some point.
Well, would you look at that?
Briefly, the man's eyes glow a pure white light before reverting back to their natural brown color. He scratches his beard.
Well, whomever it is, they don't emanate obvious evil.
Are you sure you cast it at the right time? Its face keeps changing. Maybe there's an evil one in there somewhere.
They, Stark. This is obviously a human of some kind. We don't call sentient creatures it.
Sorry, Father.
The man walks over to you and Stark, the goblin, placing a hand on his shoulder.
It's all right, Stark. It's important we recognize our mistakes and correct them.
You wonder if this is Kiner, the paladin of Shellen you've heard about. Stark turns to you, abashed.
Sorry about calling you it. I promised to protect you during your stay in Rosehold.
He bows slightly, but looks up at you through narrowed eyes.
Assuming you hold the laws and peace of this place.
Kiner laughs heartily and slaps Stark on the back.
Oh, Stark, trust in the kindness and beauty in all souls. Even the most vile can be led back to see the light. Besides, Solara mentioned this to me after our visit to the Sahedron Council in Magnamar. Though I expected to meet them today, I did not expect them to appear in Libby's studio during our morning routine.
The sound of a laughing child is heard outside. A mote of light zips into the room from outside in the hallway. Chased by a girl, around 8 years in age, you think. She's laughing uproariously, a child at play. Behind her, another goblin runs into the room, outstretched finger pointing at the mote of light darting around the room as though guiding it. He wears decorative robes, a pouch at his belt, and a mischievous grin of amusement. These two are playing, and it's adorable.
It's dumb! You little giggle monster!
Kiner scoops the little girl into his arms and tickles her. He sets her back down and looks at the robed goblin.
Having fun, Hadrook?
No, not at all, Father.
Why don't you take your sister down to the courtyard? I have a feeling the Mithril Dragon Wagon will be along shortly.
That is actually why I've come to you. It just landed.
Oh, excellent. Libby, we'll leave you here to work if you wish. Stark, come, let's gather up Valor and meet with Wyeth and Solara.
Libby is looking you up and down with fascination.
Actually, Father, I'd like to come with you. Whomever this is, they are mesmerizing to watch. Maybe I can find some inspiration here I've never found before.
Wonderful. Remember, beauty comes from within. And there certainly is something beautiful about them.
Kiner winks at you as he outstretches his hand.
Come, let's take a walk.
He leads you from the art studio. Hadrug and Dove run ahead, chasing down the dancing mote of light. Stark walks resolutely at Kiner's side, and Libby examines you, sketchbook in hand. The corridor here is brightly lit. Even the walls and floors are beautiful in their clean elegance and simplicity. Clearly, art and beauty are highly valued here. Everything was unique and gorgeous in its own right. You do see one symbol that keeps repeating itself, a songbird with a long rainbow-colored tail.
This is Dragon Roost, seat of power within the walls of Rosehold. From here, we dispatch the Rosethorns, our legions, to patrol the wilds and borders of Rosehold, protecting the people of Turtleback Ferry and the lowlands from the giant tribes of this area. There's also an outpost north beyond the Storville Stairs, protecting the pilgrimage road to the Thoracic Library.
He looks down at himself and blushes slightly.
We're not exactly dressed to accept visitors at the moment, are we?
Kiner waves at a passing man in the hallway.
Senric, could you have Wyeth and Solara informed that I will be with them momentarily?
He pauses.
Also, have someone wake Valar and have him come down as well. Send whomever will do best in getting him up quickly.
I shall send Christium to Master Valar. She shows no lack of enthusiasm in interacting with your brother, Lord Zarn.
Good luck to her there, I suppose. Shaelin bless her.
With a quick bow, the man scurries away. Kiner holds a hand to his mouth, secretively, and leans down to you.
Honestly, I'm afraid of anyone who could tame my brother's thirst for adventure and settle him down.
He chuckles and fondly shakes his head, gesturing to a large set of beautifully carved rosewood double doors. Stark and Libby open the doors, and they lead you into a large sitting room, a fire crackling on the hearth in the corner, surrounded by comfortable-looking sofas and chairs.
Please, have a seat. We'll be back with you in a moment. Help yourself to any refreshments you find.
With that, the three leave you in the very large, very colorful room. Alone. The room is filled with family portraits. The one above the hearth stands out largest. Kiner standing behind a red-headed woman. She beams from a face dotted with freckles. The woman holds an infant toddler and is surrounded by three young goblins with broad smiles. You've never seen a family portrait like this before, but they all look so damn happy. Continuing to scan the room, and you find yourself face to face with something you weren't expecting. A mirror. In the mirror stands a human shape, but that's the only thing you can pin down about it. The body shifts and moves, revealing glimpses of different clothing, hair, body shapes, and features. Unconsciously, you walk closer to the mirror. Is this you? Staring deeply into the mirror, mesmerized by the constantly morphing features, it stops, holding its form to reveal you. That's you. That's your face. That's your hair. The clothes you're wearing right now. A door opening breaks your trance, and you spin toward the sound. The three members of the Zarn family who invited you in return from their dressing chambers. Libby wears a beautiful gown, shimmering and splendid. Its colors are as varied as the rainbows that decorate the keep. Kiner and Stark are wearing matching full plate armor. Though radically different in size, they are both polished to a mirror sheen.
Oh, Libby, marvelous choice! And Stark, your armor is gleaming. I love it. Come, we have much to do.
Kiner leads you all from the apartments down several flights of spiral stairs. You exit at ground level into the midday sun. Even the courtyard had no lack of art. Shaped hedges, several statues dot the courtyard. You recognize a few, actually. There's a statue of Wyeth, bow drawn, aiming at something in the distance. Valar, holding a wine jug in one hand and his oversized sword in the other. Solara, outstretched hands wreathed in flames, In the middle of it all is the Mithril Dragon Wagon, depicted flying among the clouds. You catch a glimpse at the plaque at its base. There's a period between each word. The Mithril Dragon Wagon. Parked on the ground next to the statue of it was the actual Mithril Dragon Wagon itself. Wyeth and Yane sit on its roof, quietly speaking to one another. The robed goblin from earlier is running up to the wagon, bow in hand, jumping up and down, vying for Wyeth's attention.
Uncle Wyeth! Uncle Wyeth! I've been practicing with the bow you gave me! Watch!
From under his robe, Hadrug pulls out a sparkling blue arrow, knocks it, and looses it in the direction of the Wyeth statue. It connects right in between the eyes of the Wyeth statue. A burst of ice and cold shoot forth from the impact, encompassing its head entirely.
Yeah, nice shot, kid.
Wyeth offers a nervous smile to the excited goblin.
I mean, hey, keep practicing and you may be able to draw and loose as fast as I can.
In a flash and with a flourish, the beautiful elven longbow comes out. And before you know it, four arrows are in the air. A loud squawk and a thud is heard as the body of a raven hits the pavement, feet in front of Hadrug. All four arrows struck the exact same spot on the bird's chest.
Wyeth!
Libby runs over to the struck bird and cradles it in her hands. Wyeth shrugs.
Meh, it's just a bird. I mean, showing off's in my blood. It's what I do.
You don't have to shoot an innocent bird just to show off to Hadrug.
Libby, go take the bird to the druids, quickly. See if they can save it.
Libby runs off towards the walls of the keep, large doors being opened for her. Even in that dress, she is very fast. Realizing Iain has been carefully working his way down the ladder from the roof of the wagon ever since you walked into the courtyard, a sparkle of magic comes from his waved hand, and Libby's speed increases even further. With Iain's magic carrying her, Libby disappears from the courtyard.
Was that totally necessary?
Wyeth shrugs once more.
I'm pretty sure her own magic can save the creature. I mean, besides, Mithril dragons need to be able to operate under pressure.
Kiner pauses to consider, before sighing in resignation.
You're not wrong, but she's still a child. Be a bit more directive if you intend on helping her train.
All right. It's good to see you, man.
You too, Wyeth.
Their embrace is quick and accentuated with a sharp pat on the back before they separate.
Where is Solara? Isn't she supposed to be with you?
The time glass revealed to her our arrival in Rosehold without her. I believe she's found a path forward and intends to have particular events play out in a particular fashion. There she has been maddeningly evasive with details. That is what I've been able to deduce, at least.
If we mean to confront another rune lord, we need to be as prepared as we can be.
Kiner shoots a wistful glance over to the wagon. He kneels next to Stark, who has been standing next to him since entering the courtyard.
Stark, settle Rose for me.
With a short, respectful bow, Stark replies,
Yes, Lord Zarn.
Before running towards the stables in the yard. Kiner shakes his head, in that loving way parents do.
He so badly wants to make me proud, so overzealous. Humility is more in line with the tenets of Shaelin. Zeal opposes humility. Jin had some things right, after all.
Clapping his hands and rubbing them together eagerly.
Now, let's see the wagon. Shaelin knows how much I've missed her.
Wyeth scolds Kiner as they disappear into the wagon with Yane, leaving you alone in the courtyard.
You too, Kiner? It's the Mithril Dragon Wagon. Gods, you've all been away too long.
Looking around you, you find that you are truly alone. All of the children are gone. No stable hands nearby. No courtiers, no groundskeepers, no one. You decide to go into the wagon with the trio, but are stopped before you can even take your first step. Appearing right in front of you is Solara, accompanied by the Sahedron and a diminishing magical hum from her appearance. Tall and imposing, she looks down on you with a flat stare, arms folded, The Sahedron floats silently behind her head, coming from everywhere and nowhere. A voice envelops your being.
When next you return, bring an item of power you have encountered in this place.
Solara's lips don't move, and that doesn't sound like her. Is the Sahedron speaking to you?
Now, choose a boon to take with you. May your virtues aid in the task to come.
The Sahedron hums with power. Your intentions coalesce. Humility and zeal. The Sahedron reacts violently in rejection. Shockwaves of energy hit you.
Choose!
This choice was yours. You stand steadfast against the artifact of power. You choose zeal,
sloth,
and humility.
Pride.
A backlash of energy courses through you, drawn from both the shard of zeal,
sloth,
and the shard of humility.
Pride.
The energy courses into your connection to this world, and as magnets with the same polarity, then repel themselves in opposite directions. Sight is gone. Sound is absent. Your moment in this world slips. The Mithril Dragon Wagon disappears, and you